Well, we're the Meyer family. My wife is here with me, Connie. Next year, we'll celebrate 25 years of marriage. And I say this to say that the first 12 years of our marriage, we were unsaved. And I'll be honest with you, it was terrible. It really was terrible. But we got saved, and the Lord came in, and I can tell you the last 13 years have far exceeded our every wish, our every desire, because the Lord is in there. And so we got saved later in life, but we're the Meyer family. If you don't have one of our cards, you grab it. It's on a table out back, and we have our two youngest children with us. We have our youngest daughter, Abigail, and then we have our only son, Logan, with us. And when we have one more daughter, Gwendolyn. She's not traveling with us. She's back in New England, and she's moved out of the house, and she's on her own. And they used to sing all together, and they're very good at harmonizing it. So tonight, I asked my two youngest children if they'd come up and sing a special for you and sing. And it's really about singing unto the Lord. It's not singing unto us or singing unto you, but really it's all about singing unto the Lord and serving the Lord. And really, that's what life's all about. That's why God put us here. According to Revelation chapter 4, we're here for His pleasure. And to have a relationship with them. And so I asked them if they would come and sing. And then after they sing, we'll watch a video, a 10-minute video that's basically explains everything about what's going on in the Philippines. And
when man sinned in the garden, that sin Jehovah could not condone. The blood shed of animals could not forever sin atone.
But the Son had compassion. He said, Father, I'll be your lamb. So once again, blood was shed as the soldiers nailed his hands.
It's been 3 days since heaven watch their Prince of Glory die. His followers are in mourning, for in the tomb his body lies. But at the grave something is happening. As death screamed, I've lost my hold. Angels rise in anticipation, for the Son is coming home, and there He comes. And He's got the blood that He shed on Calvary. And the Father said, well done, my Son, this is the last blood I'll ever need. And there He comes, and He's got the blood that He shed on Calvary. And the Father said, well done, my Son, this is the last blood I'll ever need. This is the last blood I'll ever need.
Puts a tear in my eye, but that's because I'm dad. But now you know what it was like when we were traveling around in the car on deputation. That's a lot. But Lord's really, really worked a lot in our life. We got to come down here for the camp meeting in April, and it was a blessing. And I've been trying to quit my job since January. And one of the things that people will give you advice about is if you can get 7 or 8 weeks of meetings, you can quit your job. And so I had that scheduled. So I'm trying to quit my job, and my employer, he won't let me quit in January. He just won't. And then I tried again in February, because we have a full calendar in April and May. And in February, my employer's like, well, maybe I'll transfer you to the Philippines, because we have a base of operations in the Philippines. So I had to go through an interview process for this position in the Philippines. And March came, and I have to quit, so I'm trying to quit. And my boss is like, no, you're not going to quit. Why don't you just take the time off in April? Just take some time off. So we came for the conference and some other meetings that we had, and I'm only supposed to get 3 weeks paid vacation, but I resigned in the end of July, and I'd already taken 5 weeks paid vacation. Matter of fact, last year, the Lord had given me, allowed me to take 6 weeks paid vacation. And so we're wondering, well, why won't the Lord allow me to quit? And we go back to work. I get back in Massachusetts in May. And my coworker, one of the first days that I was back at work, he came up to me and he asked me, he said, I need to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. So I took him off to the side and we prayed about it. And I've been witnessing to my coworker for a whole year. And so sometimes it takes a long time to witness to somebody while you're working and having that right relationship. So I was thinking that that's probably why the Lord was drawing it out. But they finally did offer me a position in the Philippines, and it was for insufficient funds. And so I resigned, and now we're full-time deputation. We're raising support to go to the Philippines. We'll watch this video, and I think it answers pretty much all the questions other than the brother that's from the Philippines probably shouldn't answer this question, but... Do you know how many types of bananas there are?
It's a lot.
There's over 70. There's over 70 varieties of bananas. Now, you wouldn't know that. Matter of fact, in the Philippines, they even have banana ketchup. They ran out of tomatoes in World War II, and they started using bananas to make ketchup. And so we've had banana ketchup when we were over in the Philippines, and it tasted just like ketchup. So the Philippines is different than any place that we've ever been in, at least in the United States, or on a mission trip, in that the people there are receptive to the gospel. When you give a Filipino a tract, they are going to read it, and they're going to ask questions. And they're going to decide right then and there, what are they going to do with that information? And so when we went on a survey trip in November, we've seen a lot of people trust the Lord. We've seen 25, I think, come to trust the Lord due to preaching and witnessing. And so the Bible talks about how the field is white under the harvest, but there's not very many laborers, and that's true. There's almost 110 million people in the Philippines. And so there's a great opportunity to see a lot of people saved and do a lot of great works over in the Philippines. And we'll watch this video, but if you have this prayer card, if you draw a circle in this corner of the South Pacific, there's 3.1 billion people that live in that section of the planet. You can train national Filipinos and send them to places that you couldn't possibly send an American. You can send them into Indonesia. You can send them into parts of Saudi Arabia, the Middle East, because the Philippines like to work, and they're very loving people, and they have the right spirit to go to work. You can send them almost anywhere. And so as we watch borders close for American missionaries, there's a lot of borders that are still open for other missionaries. They don't suspect a Filipino would be a missionary, but yet we know of them carrying many gospel messages into the 1040 window in places where it's hostile, but yet no one suspects them. It looks like India is closing. So one of the things that we're praying about and seeking the direction from the Lord is to go there and be able to train nationals and be able to send them to places where no one else can go. And so make sure you grab one of our prayer cards, and we'll watch this video. And then after the service, I'll take any questions that you might have, try to answer them the best I can. But one thing's for sure, if you don't tell people about Jesus Christ, how are they gonna get saved? Someone's got to tell them. Someone's got to go. The Philippines is made up of 7,107 islands in the Western Pacific. The Philippine Islands became a Spanish colony during the 16th century. In 1898, they declared independence from Spanish rule, and on July 4, 1946, the Republic of the Philippines obtained its full independence. The Philippines is the seventh most populated country in Asia. It has an area of approximately 115,000 square miles. In comparison, it is slightly less than twice the size of the state of Georgia. The islands are separated into three main geographical divisions, Luzon, Visayas, and Mindanao. Luzon is the northernmost and largest island and includes the capital city. Visayas is where Cebu is located, which is the region's business and industrial center. Mindanao is the southernmost island and the second largest after Luzon. The Philippines has approximately 107 million people. There are several different languages, Filipino, Tagalog, Visayas, Cebuano, and English. The main concentration of age groups in the Philippines are 0 to 14 and 25 to 54. The Philippine national flag has a rectangular design that consists of a white equilateral triangle, symbolizing equality, fraternity, a horizontal blue stripe for peace, truth, and justice, and a horizontal red stripe for patriotism and valor. During peace times, the blue color is on top, and during war times, the flag is turned upside down to show the red color on top.
The capital city of Manila, located in Luzon, is a metropolis of 10 cities. Manila was the nation's capital until 1937, when President Manuel Quezon moved the capital city to Quezon from 1948 to 1976. But Manila has regained its status as the capital in 1976 and remains a seat of national and government commerce. The Philippines have various modes of transportation. The sea plays an integral part in traveling to and within the country. Other modes of transportation are airplanes, jeepneys, trains, motorcycles, and bicycles. The Philippines is located in the Southwest Pacific Ocean and is abundant with beauty as well as danger. Tropical climate, volcanoes, earthquakes, flooding, drought, typhoons. Positioned on the western edge of the Pacific Ocean, along the Ring of Fire, the Philippines is the second largest archipelago in the world. The Pacific Ring of Fire, a volcanic belt where more than half of the world's active above sea level volcanoes lie. Mindanao has Mount Apo, which is the highest mountain in the Philippines. It is an active volcano and is located near the city of Davao. In June of 1991, the second largest volcanic eruption of the 20th century occurred when Mount Pinatubo erupted, causing widespread devastation on the island of Luzon, and the effects were felt worldwide. 800 were killed, 100,000 homes were destroyed. Mount Mayan is the Philippines' most active volcano. The last eruption was in August of 2014. Typhoon Haiyan, one of the strongest storms in recorded history, decimated parts of the Philippines in November of 2013. More than 6,000 people were killed and over 4 million lost their homes. Deforestation aids in this problem and effects that typhoons have on the islands. In November of 1991, a destroying flash flood killed approximately 8,000 people within less than a half an hour and left thousands of people homeless. In the days after the flood, almost 5,000 Filipinos were found dead and about 3,000 were missing and were never found, probably brought out to the sea by the killing flood. Compared to the people in the United States, people die 7 years sooner in the Philippines. The life expectancy in the Philippines is 72, while in the United States it's 79. Babies in the Philippines are 2.9 times more likely to die in infancy. You are 2.4 times more likely to be murdered in the Philippines. There are 29 million Filipinos living below the poverty line, according to government statistics. Religion in the Philippines. 82% are Catholic. 5% Muslim. The Black Nazarene. Devotees clamor on top of one another to touch the religious icon of the Black Nazarene during the annual religious procession in Manila. More than a million barefoot devotees parade the century-old reliquary of the Catholic Church. There's also the atoning for one's own sin, going to the extremes for false religion by crucifixion, and hanging caskets on the side of mountains. Ministries in the Philippines. Our first goal is to plant independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist churches and ministries. God is leading us to a specific area in the Philippines, and once we move there, we will know where God will have us to start our own churches and ministries. Our second goal is to be a help to national pastors and missionaries. This will aid in us becoming more familiar with the culture and learning the languages. We are very excited to become more familiar with these areas and start our own works. These are public ministries, preaching to the military and police, jail ministries, radio ministries, and various Bible studies and church services, and even mountain tribes and secluded military camps we will initially be involved in until we begin our own work. Our mission field will first consist of aiding in ministries in Cagayan de Oro, Zamboanga del Norte, and Davao City. We are very excited to become familiar with these areas and to start our own works. They are few, and the need is great for workers of the Lord to come and battle against the false religions that the people of the Philippines have been oppressed and saturated with. And we are thrilled that God has opened an area that is a vast harvest field full of lost souls that outnumber the workers that are already there. These are the fields waiting for the harvest, and we are anxious to begin our work. Please partner and pray with us in order that we may go and see souls saved in the Philippines. The Bible says in Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives." We desire to go to the people of the Philippines and see souls saved, baptized, and disciple new believers and start churches. Not everyone can go to the mission field, but we want our missionary experience to be an experience for us and the churches that partner with us. so that we can all be part of the wonderful opportunity through giving of prayer, finances, resources, and talents. We would love to have everyone come and visit us in the Philippines. But for those who can, there are always opportunities in other areas where we can all work together for the Lord.
One of those pictures has a story to it, and we don't have enough time to discuss all the stories, but those four men singing, the one that had the red and white plaid shirt, he just preached his first service or his first sermon on Wednesday.
He was able to teach and preach the first time. So, and he's one of those young men that surrendered to the ministry while we were there. The reliquary, the Black Nazarene, we actually got a chance to see that. We got a chance to tour one of the large Catholic churches in the city of Davao, and it has gold, and it has everything you can think of. And we go inside, and here's this young man, and he's got his hand on this idol. And he's earnestly praying for 15 or 20 minutes, and you just see he's intently praying. And I'm thinking the whole time, I'm like, that statue can't possibly hear you. Matter of fact, it can't hear you. It can't do anything for you. You're praying to the wrong God. You're praying in the wrong direction. And the priest is there, and he's encouraging all that. And you go right outside. You go right outside the church, and here's this elderly lady, and she's got no shoes on, and she's got no teeth, and she's dirty. You don't know when the last time she's taken a bath. You don't know the last time she's eaten a meal. She's standing right outside the church gate, and she's begging for money. She's begging. And they have all of it, and they're not doing anything for their people. And it's just sad, and it really breaks your heart. When we were loading up to go over on our survey trip, we took over, I think, 60 pairs of flip-flops. And we took a bunch of Bibles and some other books, and we're trying to weigh our bags because it's all on weight, and they're heavy, and my wife keeps looking at me, and she's giving me books, and she doesn't see, but I'm taking the Bibles and the books and putting them in the other suitcase. She can't figure out why they're not getting any lighter. That's because I was just shifting it from one bag to the other bag. But we gave all that stuff away. They're very, very needy people, but they're very loving people, and so we're encouraged about everything that the Lord did. And you've seen a lot of pictures, and I don't know what was a greater opportunity to preach to the 2 battalion of Filipino soldiers, or you've seen that picture, or to preach the funeral for that little girl that died. That was the first funeral I'd ever done, and she's about 8 years old. She had been going to Sunday school, and she had gotten saved, and she had gotten baptized, and she was going to her Sunday school class, and she's bringing home the scripture things that little girls bring from their Sunday school class, you know, and she's putting up in her house. And the next thing you know, her mom gets excited and interested, and her mom goes to church, and her mom gets saved. And then during her mom's baptismal service, the little girl gets caught up in the creek behind where mom was being baptized, and she drowned. And so it was sad, really sad to be able to do that funeral. So it was tremendous for me to see how the Lord was working while we were there. And like I said before, the door's open. It's time to go to the Philippines. It's time to get souls saved, just like it is everywhere else. You want to know why? Lord's coming. We don't know how much longer we have, but it's important that we look at the souls of men and the souls of women and make them preeminent in our life and preeminent in our direction, and we need to focus on seeing as many people as we can save all the time that we have. That's the most important thing.